Every Monday at this time, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? Assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone. As usual, the week's castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week really needs no introduction, to coin a phrase, but nevertheless she's going to get one. She's a star of many films in the United States and in Britain, a star of variety and television and radio. It's Bebe Daniels. Oh, Bebe, did you find this a difficult job, choosing just 8 records for your desert island?
Oh, it was very difficult, Roy. Because when it comes to spending, how long did you say I was going to be on this island?
Well, I didn't say. We don't know.
Well, that's what I mean. I might be on that island till I'm 32.
Oh, hope not as long as that. Do you have a big collection of records at home?
No, because when I finally get around to buying the latest ones, I've heard them on the air and on television so many times that I'm usually tired of them.
You get up early and listen to Housewife's Choice, that must be it.
That's right.
We know you as a singer, Bebe. Have you any other musical skills? Do you play any instruments?
No, I used to play the ukulele a bit. And the piano. I can play Hugh Maresc and Dardanella on the piano very, very badly.
That's a nice wide repertoire.
Yeah, and usually in a different key. And when I was a small girl, I think that was one of the reasons we had to move so often.
What are your tastes in music generally, apart from Dardanella?
My taste varies from popular tunes to opera. I should say light opera. I love all the music of Bizet and Puccini. Wagner, I can only take in small doses. It's too heavy for me. I like some of the modern jazz, but I can't stand noise. And I don't like orchestrations that bury the tune. I'm sure the composers don't either.
Yes, I'm sure about that, too. Hmm. Well, so much for general principles. Let's get down to cases. What's the first one there on the pile?
Well, in about 1945, Ben and I saw a film called State Fair. And there was a lovely number in that we both fell in love with. I'd like to take it with me. It's melodious and it's gay. And it always comes up fresh as a spring morning. It also reminds me of my old man.
Mm. Who's going to play it and what's it called?
Oh, Paul Fennelly and the Skyrockets. And strangely enough, you see, Paul has been with us on this radio series for a long time.
Yes, of course.
The tune is It May As Well Be Spring.
I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever. I know it isn't spring. I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented. Like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring?
Bebe, how are you going to make out on this island? Are you going to be a good castaway, able to look after yourself?
I don't think I'll do too badly. You know, I'm quite a good gardener. I grew all my own vegetables during the war.
Yes, that's a help. Could you make a hut, a shelter of some sort?
I think I could. When I was a little girl and my grandmother's ranch, I used to make things.
Uh-huh.
I'd make the walls probably of rocks and mud.
Yes.
Clay mud, if I could get it. And bamboo sticks. I put them closely together and maybe fill them in with a little dried seaweed.
Uh-huh.
You know, to keep the rain out.
Could you start a fire?
Oh, yes, I think I could start a fire all right.
Uh-huh.
Well, I could use my engagement ring.
Yes, does a diamond do that?
Who said it was a diamond?
Well,
this is a glass one. You see, Ben gave it to me.
Oh, I see. Can you cook?
Oh, yes, I'm not a bad cook at all.
Mm-hmm. What would you cook and how?
Well, I could get some wild grain. Do you have wild grain on your island?
Oh, I hope so.
I could pound it on a stone and mix it with a little water and a little salt.
Where are you going to get the salt from?
Well, I can get some salt water. Take some salt water out of the sea and let the water evaporate.
Mm-hmm.
Get my salt that way. I wouldn't have any meat because I can't kill animals.
Fish?
Oh, yes, I love to fish. But I hate to put the bait on. The
well,
worms wiggle.
I think you've got things pretty well taped, Lenny.
Maybe I can teach a monkey to do it, huh?
Could be, yes. Good idea. I think you've got things pretty well taped. I don't think we need to worry too much about you as a castaway. Let's get on with the next record.
Good. This time I've chosen Indian Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it opens horizons, it has great distance, mountain ranges, forests wearing every colored autumn leaf, and it has the cool warmth of a sunset in the temperate trees.
Mm-hmm. On this island, Bibi, would you try to keep up appearances? Would you try to keep smartly turned out?
Yes, I think that's the only way a person can really live with themselves, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
When my clothes wear out, which they will eventually, I think I'll make myself some two-piece outfits out of coconut fiber.
Splendid.
Oh, another thing that I can make, I think, is a comb out of a fish skeleton.
Mm. Well, I didn't award you your castaway's badge before, Bibi, so here it is, and the highest possible grade.
Well, thank you very much, Roy.
Next record.
All right, the next record. Well, I always put this one on when I'm feeling exceptionally lazy. And by the time it's finished, I'm ready to lift mountains. It's exciting and it's stimulating. And, by the way, about 9 years ago, Ben and I had the great fortune of having Jose Iturbe play it just for us.
Mm, what is it?
It's the fire dance. Record, Roy, I've chosen for several reasons. The Spanish influence reminds me of my little Spanish grandmother, and because Bing Crosby is my favorite vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
Bing always seems to be relaxed and in the mood, and his voice reminds me of another instrument. It sort of blends with any and every instrumentation. It never offends the ear, and he always makes me believe whatever he's singing about. And that's why I want to hear Granada. I really feel that I'm there.
Granada, the sky greets the day with a sign, Granada. For she can remember the splendor that once was Granada. It still can be found in the hills all around as I wander along. Entranced by the beauty before me, entranced by a land full of sunshine.
Have you ever worked with Bing Crosby, Bibi?
Yes, I've known Bing since 1931, when he played a very small part in a film called Reaching for the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
I played in that with Douglas Fairbanks Sr.
Well, let's begin at the beginning. What brought you into the theater in the first place? Were your parents on the stage?
No, not originally. My father was born in Edinburgh and had studied to be a surgeon. And my mother came from a family of diplomats and barristers. But my father and mother both loved the theater so much that my father started a touring company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how my career began. I was carried on the stage by my father when I was 10 weeks old.
Practically born in a trunk.
That's right.
What was your next appearance after the age of 10 weeks?
Well, at 4, I played the Duke of York in Richard III. And when I was 5, I went to Los Angeles and worked at the Belasco Theater.
When did you make your first appearance in movies?
When I was 7. I made my first film, The Common Enemy. Then I went into westerns.
Oh, westerns, that's an experience I envy. I think every child's idea of heaven must be to play in westerns.
It was for me.
You learned to ride, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I was riding from the time I was about 4 years old. Western saddles, of course. And in the films, I was always the little girl who was being stolen from the Indians and being rescued by the cowboy. And the cowboy was always Hoot Gibson.
Where are westerns? Where westerns in those days made in California?
Well, we made most of ours in a place called Bear Valley in California. It was a wild, rugged country, beautiful and unspoiled at that time, streaked with Indian trails. And well, it's part of the reason why I've chosen this next selection. It's a part of the Grand Canyon suite.
Oh, Ferdy Grofe.
That's right, by Toscanini. And there's a section in it called On the Trail, which has all the feeling of the West.
Mm-hmm. What happened after the Westerns, Levy? I know you made a lot of comedies with Harold Lloyd.
You've got a good memory. I was 13 years old when I went to work with Harold in Hal Roach comedies, and we made 52 pictures a year.
52? Mm-hmm. Then when you graduated to drama, of course, you played opposite all the great romantic stars of the American screen.
That's quite right. Many of them. Valentino, for instance.
What sort of man was the fabulous Rudolph Valentino to work with?
Well, I've never known an actor who was less of a ham or easier to get along with. He was a man of great charm, and he had a wonderful sense of humor. He was intelligent, a great sportsman.
A great artist altogether.
He certainly was, and it's a pity he had to be taken away so soon.
Who else do you look back on with affection from those days?
Well, I played opposite John Barrymore and Wallace Reed, Bill Powell, oh, many others.
And then came the talkies and musicals.
That's right.
Rio Rita.
Yes, Rio Rita and 42nd Street, Counselor at Law.
What brought you to London first, Bibi?
Well, we came over here in 1936 to play at the Palladium. And we came over for 3 weeks. But we liked the country so much, and the people, that we stayed for 20 years.
And you took the rough times with the smooth. We owe you a debt, I think, for High Gang during the war.
Now, look, Roy, I think the boot is on the other foot. Because I love doing High Gang more than anything else in my life. Mm. And that's why I simply must take a record from those days with me. So I've chosen The Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. The orchestra it's Geraldo and his orchestra, and the singer is Dorothy Carlos.
There was magic abroad in the air. There were angels dining at the Ritz, and the nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. I may be right, I may be wrong, but I'm perfectly willing to swear that when you turned and smiled at me, the nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
Phoebe, when and where did you first meet Ben?
Well, I first met him in New York City. And as a matter of fact, I didn't like him the first time I met him. He seemed to me, to be very conceited, but it was his first job in pictures, and it was just enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you meet him the next time?
About 4 years later in Hollywood. Johnny Weissmuller brought him down to the beach. I had a dinner date with Johnny.
Mm.
And we all went swimming first. And then Johnny went back to his house to change. And Ben asked me if I wouldn't have dinner with him. And I said no, that I had a date. So then he said, would I do him a favor and ride a short distance in his car and show him the right road back to Hollywood? He was sort of a stranger in town,
yeah.
So I just slipped my beach road on over my bathing suit, and I got into his car, and we went off, and he went right by the road, kept going, and didn't stop until we got into the middle of Hollywood Boulevard, which is sort of like Piccadilly Circus, you know,
yeah.
Traffic going.
Yeah.
And he opened the door and said if I didn't go to dinner with him and didn't break my other date, that he'd let me out in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard in my bathing suit.
Practically kidnapped.
Yes.
So did you have dinner with him?
Oh, yes, I had dinner with him, all right, because I knew he meant business.
And what threat did he use to get you to marry him?
Well, I didn't argue after that, because I always knew that he'd win out in the end.
Phoebe, how fair a picture of life with Ben is the radio program Life with the Lions?
Well, all the characters are based on us. As far as our real life is concerned, it's very much like the radio show, only it's a lot... it's not as quiet, I should say.
Well, it seems a shame to lift you out of that nice, happy, noisy family and dump you alone on this island.
Yes, I'll miss them all. My old man... and Richard. Richard's a great pal of mine, you know. But I'll be able to take one of the family along with me. Because I've chosen one of Barbara's records, the very first record she ever made, called Stowaway.
Though my dreams lay to seem better than they really are, way down deep in my heart I keep them as people will often do who are stay at home stowaways too.
Yes, that record should be company for you. Now, what's the last one you've chosen to combat your loneliness? Do you think the loneliness will get you down, by the way?
Well, I don't know. But whenever I start really feeling sorry for myself, which I expect I will, I can always take an imaginary trip with Sidney Dorch and go anywhere I like. That's why I've chosen this next exciting record.
What is it?
It's called The Coronation Scot.
To start off on lots of imaginary journeys with that record. Well, those are your 8 discs, BB. You've got one more choice to make. That's your luxury object. What one luxury would you like to take with you on the island?
Oh, Roy, I don't have to think twice about that. I'll take my typewriter and all the typing paper that I can carry.
Yes. Do you think you'll be able to service the typewriter? I don't see how you can help getting sand in it.
Oh, I'll be able to service it, all right. And that typewriter's a very old girl, you know. She came to Britain with us on our first trip, and she went all over the war zones with me.
What are you going
really to... Really rough it, you know.
Yeah. What are you going to write? A supply of scripts when you get back?
No, I'll stay right away from comedy. I'll write first, I think, about the island and the animals. And then I'd like to write a mystery. I've always wanted to write a mystery.
Well, that book about the island sounds as if it might be a very useful textbook and required reading for all prospective castaways. You better put me down for several copies.
All right. Well, you cast me away and I'll write it.
Right. Well, many thanks, B.B. Daniels, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Discs.
Well, thank you too, Roy. And goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone.
The guest in today's recorded program was B.B. Daniels, the interviewer Roy Plumley, and the producer Monica Chapman. Next week's castaway will be Stan Kenton.